always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? The other thing that has been interesting over the last couple days or so has been the news and noise about the Lakers searching for another big. And now they obviously, the centerpiece of their offseason so far was Walker Kessler. He was somebody who they've pursued for years and eventually, you know, landed on a sign and trade with Utah. They did the thing where the house wasn't for sale, and then they just made the price big enough to where the people living inside that house were like, I mean, I guess we can move. So that was the starting point to their offseason. They also added Kevon Looney. They said goodbye to DeAndre Ayton for those couple of Washington Wizards second round picks. And they also, I guess technically, like Mamu was like a pseudo backup center. Situational backup center there. The one box that remains unchecked, even though I do think Kessler provides some vertical spacing, is that like athletic rim running over the top finisher that Luka, you know, has typically thrived with over the course of his career. So is that kind of the type of center that they might be looking for? Like what paths are we looking at here, do you think, to land probably like a situational backup? I don't know, me personally, I'm kind of looking at Looney as like a high character veteran in the locker room guy who plays like 15 minutes a week. So like what type of center do you think they're looking for?
The a week got me. I mean,
that could be all he has, man. He went 1-for-2 on dunks last season. Like, I'm a little nervous about Looney.
I mean, the center options just aren't as clear, at least to me, just talking with people, as like some of the wing options or forward options. I mean, I know what they've been tied or connected to Nick Richards, who's still an unrestricted free agent, but I mean, he's 20.
There's no reason for them to be tied to him and not sign him.
I mean, at least at this point, because he's also probably a minimum signing. So if you wanted to add him, like you could add him. I mean, that's the other thing. You could add a player of that caliber at pretty much at any point. You know, it doesn't have they're, as long as they're under the first apron, they can do that. And they obviously they would be still way below the first apron threshold with, even with adding Nick Richards. But yeah, I mean, like that's to me like the clear unrestricted free agent guy. Outside of that, I mean, the trades, I mean, I don't think Daniel, again, it's like, I saw this joke and it's good. Like every time we talk about like Lakers additions, potential additions, it's like, go look at like the Mavericks roster. It's like bargain hunting, just like, or thrift shopping. There we go. It's like thrift shopping.
Yeah.
let's go.
They're like TJ Maxx. Like they're like you're going to a costume party and you hit TJ Maxx really quick. You're like, oh, I guess we could use a Najee Marshall.
Yeah. So the options for another big man aren't as clear. I don't know. The other part is I just don't see – it's hard to see the – someone – I'm reading the comments. I saw someone said – someone said, be great if they could pry Diabate from the Hornets. That's not happening.
Yeah, no. They like him a lot.
Yeah,
they fought happening. The whole city of Detroit on his behalf. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I forgot. I forgot about that. That was about him. He was at the center of that. Yeah.
He lost his mind. He was running through coaches and players and everybody. And the other person that he was trying to like land at was Isaiah Stewart. Like that was craziness.
That was insane. Yeah. This was great. But yeah, no, they're not Diabate is not happening. But yeah, I mean, just, so you're just, you're looking at trade targets. But I was, what I was going to say was, before I got into the comments, was I don't see them doing both. I think it's going to be hard for them to do both. Get a Kuminga or another wing and get a big, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be one or the other. And if you're asking me, I think they should prioritize the wing spot. Because, I mean, if I know the concern is, well, if Kessler gets hurt or if something happens with Kessler, then you're, you know, it's going to, your backup center spot gets bleak. Realistically, I think it's going to be that way regardless. I don't think the options, the backup big options are, at least for the Lakers, going to be so, so great that you feel like, oh yeah, like there's a great option out there. I just don't see that.
The other pathway that I was kind of bouncing around with Harrison yesterday was, you know, because they have, I think there are two ways right now so far, I think are solidified with Arthur Kaluma, who just signed, and Chris Mignon, who just signed. The third one, A.K. Okereke. I think that's how he says. I don't know.
Okereke.
Yeah. He's the one who I could see them, you know, because of how stacked they are, kind of at the wings, just in terms of depth. I could see them maybe waving him and signing like a Christian Coloco, not Christian Coloco, because I don't think he's two-way eligible anymore. But a like that rim running athletic big who's like a longer term project and plays spot minutes from time to time instead of you know Looney when he isn't available because he's moves like he's 47 years old. But that's as far as like. Yeah, because I saw the stuff about like Daniel Gafford and, you know, the Lakers might be interested in him. And I don't know. I'll believe that Masai Ujiri and Rob Pelinka will make a trade involving actual NBA players, like when it actually happens. I saw people saying like, oh, see, look, they made a trade when I think like the Lakers sold them the pick that they bought earlier in the draft, right? They're like, see, they can work together. And it's like, yeah, man, that's great. Masai Ujiri does, in fact, have Zell. But like the
awesome
the
whole, thought, like, though. Like they just send if all of the like the cash considerations are literally just Zells.
Yeah, it would be great. Like the Bulls would just like you would look at their transaction history and it's just them taking cash all the time. It's never sending anything out. I don't really think that the Gafford thing makes a whole bunch of sense. I just think like even while Luka and Gafford have that history of winning together and even while like I guess Gafford makes sense as that like over the top rim threat and lob threat that I just don't think the Lakers would use the additional resources, not just in terms of like picks and young players or whatever that would have to go out, but also in terms of just percentage of the cap that is devoted to the center position. I just don't really think Gafford makes a whole bunch of sense there. Richards, I guess I could see it, you know, but he has a lot of DeAndre Ayton to him and they just told DeAndre Ayton to go away. So I don't know if that's necessarily happening, but yeah, we'll see how that kind of plays out. What have you overall?
See what I mean? See what I mean? Just like it's really like it's
yes,
just like very fast. Which is why
at this point in July it always is. Yeah,
yeah. Which I mean, I do like the idea. I mean, and they've had this happen since I've been on the beat where. I think this is the case for pretty much like any NBA team, but like if you're going to use all three of your two-way spots, and now obviously every team is it was great when the NBA did upgrade from just two-ways to three, use one on like a guard ball handler, one on a wing, and then one on a big.
Yeah, I like
just
that
to have concept. An emergency player development guy. I mean, the other thing is, and this also how their offseason has like gone up to this point or the last month between the draft and all the additions that have been made. it really makes a whole lot of sense why they were going, you know, pursuing Henry Vissar as much as they were in the second round and, you know, yeah, trading into the second round and eventually obviously not getting him and trading out. But like, he would be the obvious answer to this question of, oh yeah, we have this rookie who we can, you know, he can play X amount of minutes. He can be like the true backup big, and Kevon Looney can be like the third stream big, and then Mamu can be like, Mamu can be like, he can play the five and like the small lineups, but he'll be played back up four. Like, that would make that, in when you see it, obviously that's, you know, behind us now, but it adds up more. Just like that was a vision which they had for this roster.
Freaking Atlanta screwed it up. Like,
the problem. And now they're trying to work with Atlanta on a signing trade. Look how that works.
It's crazy how many sliding doors are just Atlanta being like, no. we do have a few super comments, but before we get to some of those, I do want to ask you just really quick, like, overall overarching takeaways from their offseason so far. Would you consider it, like, how would you grade it? Would you say this was an overwhelming success? Would you say this was outright failure? Would you ask, why did you say goodbye to LeBron while not having a power forward? Like, how would you grade how this offseason has gone?
Yeah, I would probably give it a B or B plus, depending on the day you ask me if I'm in a good mood or if I'm in a bad mood.
Good mood.
Yeah, I guess I'm in a good mood today. So B plus, somewhere between, you know, like an 86 to 88. Not 89, not that high to an A minus, but 86 to 88. I think they've done a relatively good job. I mean, in the all season totality, like, they, something that was important, they secure, again, I mentioned it earlier, but two full-time starters next to Luka for the foreseeable future. They re-signed Austin, and they did the sign and trade for Walker Kessler. Both the deals were, I guess, a little bit polarizing. The Austin component of, did you really need to trade? I mean, not trade. Did you really need to go that high? The answer is yes. Just straight up, yes. And
Ainge knew they had to. Like, you're talking about Kessler, right? So, like,
no,
like,
I'm talking about Austin. I'm talking I'm saying, like, at least for Austin, like, yes, you had to give him. I mean, obviously, he took a little bit less than the 4-year max, but the reporting, I know Dan reported, Dan Wake from the FA reported it, and I've heard the same thing. Like, they went a lot lower than his eventual deal, and Austin's side was ready to look elsewhere, like, or ready, you know. And I think Austin even spoke on the record about it. Like, he wasn't sure whether he was going to return or not. Like, that's very real. So, yes, if that's just the money that it takes to, you know, retain a player of his caliber. And that's also someone that Luka wanted to play alongside for long term. And then that also is the case with Walker Kessler. And again, talking with people in Vegas, you know, one of the main things I was hearing, this before they added Adam Matisse, which I think that's a great addition considering it's a veteran minimum. I feel the same way about Zaire. But in terms of Walker, like, the main guys they added, Walker, Quinnen, Sandro, and not so much Colin because he was a 2-year deal. Some of the feedback was, did you have to give up everything you did in terms of in terms of Walker, like, did you, you know, the first round draft capital and giving him, you know, the 32 or 30 plus million salary on the first year, and it's escalating with Quinnen and Mamu, the, you know, 4-year deals with a player option on the back end. A lot of people liked the additions in a vacuum, but in the totality of building out a team, was it the best? At least in terms of Walker, like, that's what guy Luka wanted. He's been asking for a high level center since he basically got to the Lakers. Yeah, and to the Lakers credit,
He's like, by the way,
just like got off the plane, like a bunch of pictures of just guys, Wikipedia links. Just actually not from Wikipedia. It's like basketball reference links. Just seeing like basketball reference links. Yeah. No, like this was something that, you know, and to the Lakers credit, like, through pretty much three out of the four like main transaction cycles, trade deadline, off season. They had the trade deadline. They or right after they acquired Luka, the 2025 off season, 2026 trade deadline, and then this off season, like they've gone after a guy. They went after Mark Williams for sending the trade. Obviously, they got DeAndre Ayton. They didn't go for a big at the this past trade deadline, and now they get Walker Kessler. Like they've obviously tried, but they've got the big fish, right? Right, or whale, or I'm using Miami Heat terms, maybe it's because I've been following them for too much. But they got their guy. And I think there is something to be said for like you get your guy and you get a guy that, you know, is going to set it like that Luka wants to play alongside. So for me, getting those two locked in make it success. I think Quentin Grimes is going to be a good player. To me, even if you can quibble about the actual deals for all their additions, like the main guys that they added right after the Walker deal was reported, none of like they're all of those guys are in their mid to late 20s. I think Colin was the oldest at 27 or 28. I think 27. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Austin is the oldest player on the team before Looney.
Before Looney. Outside of Looney. And Matisse.
Yeah. I guess now Matisse. Yeah. But it's crazy, though, that like of the non-minimum players, Austin is now the oldest player.
Yeah. So, and even Colin, who's, I think, right behind Austin, he's on a two-year deal. So all the other deals, like they're for guys in their, Walker's 24, I think Quinn's 25, like in their mid-20s. And by the end of their contract, they still should be in their primes. These contracts, even if, you know, it's hard to, and there's a world in which they underperform, sure, but they should still be performing at good levels where they're not going to be albatrosses. They're not going to be untradeable contracts.
They're not going to be Vanderbilt.
Yeah. You said it, not me. you're not going to look back. Like, yeah, no, seriously, but you're not going to look back on this contract like 4 years from now. We're looking at like Vandos right now of like you're trying to trade it and it's so hard to like this. That should not be the case.
Yeah.
So for me, that's why it's a B+.
I mostly agree. That's like roughly the consensus too. I think most people like, you know, you'll talk to some people who have them as like an A-. You'll have some people have them as like a B-, C+. But then like it all kind of averages out to that like B range. Because it's hard for me to give them anything much higher considering they don't have a starting caliber power forward on their team right now. And like until we finally see that, then like, you know, maybe I'll rethink my current grade form. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into some of the comments. We have to play the most important sound on the show first. Fuck Washington! All right, so it's always funny when people experience that for the first time, or like if you haven't been on the show for a little while, and it's like it still takes you by surprise. But it's a very important sounder that is near and dear to the heart. Sound Automotive Group writes, to accurately reflect this portion of LeBron's final season in the documentary, the first episode should just be 60 minutes of silence. I just want to know like how they're going to stretch this out, you know, like what, or like if they ever do fully document this. And I know that like those documentaries tend to be longer form commercials, but I do want to know like what the framing is going to be for why it's taking this long. Because now you had the report from Shams today saying that they aren't waiting for teams to make some move to appeal to LeBron, which kind of sort of felt like reverse. What's the word I'm thinking of? Like you basically say like, oh, I'm not trying to, you know, eat right now. And in the hopes that you like convince somebody that they're hungry, right? It's like, oh no, we're not looking for you to like, to like trade for Anthony Davis. Like, no, but please don't, not on our behalf.
Yeah.
You know,
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
I do want to know eventually, like, why this thing is taking this long, because it's really like it's between those two teams, Cleveland and Miami, and it's like, what else could be coming? Are you waiting for Miami to like pick up KCP on a buyout? Is that going to be the domino that tips the scales? I don't know.
I'm calling it the indecision until I'm sure it's other people have referred to it as that. I don't know. I again, I mentioned this to you. Like I've keeping up with the best I can through my own reporting, through my own intel. But yeah, I'm calling it the indecision. And I'm not even, not even as a joke. Like, it's just, I will say, I think part of it, part of why, and I think there is an element of truth to this, is like, and I was asked this when I was doing something for us, the New York Post yesterday, is like, you asked about the best fit or the best option. Where do you think he should go? Like, to me, there's not a clear and obvious answer. Like, you just said Miami or Cleveland, like, which one's the better option for him? And that's very much depends on, it's like, it's like, it's a terrible comparison, but it's like going to an ice cream shop. I get a different flavor, like, every time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, more. I mean, well, depending on like the ice cream place I go to, like, I may get a different flavor.
I'm very consistent.
So you would probably make your free agent decision on July 3rd or July 1st. I could understand why July 23rd, like, okay, you know Salt and Straw, right?
I'm not out there. I know, fair enough. Texas.
It's a premium ice cream shop. It's here. It's in New York. It's like variety of places. There's variety of places. They basically have like monthly, like five different flavors every month. It's like, five different flavors every month. Then they have their regular menu. Mm-hmm. My fiance loves this. This is how I'm like very much up on this. This is, she would love to hear.
I didn't realize like this. Ice cream was such an endeavor. Like, I didn't.
Oh no, it is. It's become like really over the past few years, like ice, like the desserts, like the places that just like sell like just straight desserts, and like they could like cinnamon rolls too. Cinnamon rolls, ice cream, like they've become their own business. All that to say, like, when we go together, like, I may get a different ice cream flavor each time. Sometimes I go to like my more like, I don't know, I enjoy vanilla, I enjoy the cookies and cream, I may do a seasonal flavor. All that to say, this is like for LeBron, this is like choosing like between two, like multiple ice cream flavors, and you just love them all. Or they're all 8 out of 10s to you, and you're just kind of like, well, which one do I want to have for the next year or two? Because you can't go.
All right. Do you make that decision like while it's holding up like the entire rest of the restaurant?
Well,
you're sitting there. You're like, damn, Rocky Road or Cookies and Cream? And there's like a line out the door that got like that only started compiling when you started considering your ice cream options. Because that's kind of what's going on right now.